Welcome to Here I Am, Lord, a weekly faith-filled program about learning to say yes to Jesus in the ordinary moments of everyday life. Join Marta Kyle as she invites you to grow in faith, recognize God's voice in daily life, and discover simple ways to follow Christ more faithfully each day.
I can go in here.
Well, welcome, welcome.
Welcome, welcome. It's Wacky Thursday.
It is Wacky Thursday. There's a lot of fun things going on in here.
Whatever can go wrong.
Has gone wrong.
Yes. Going wrong around us.
That means we're going to have a very powerful show for you today. I said the Lord likes our message today because nothing's going right.
We're being interfered with.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
So welcome today, July 23rd. It's the feast day of St. Bridget. I happen to love St. Bridget. She has two really powerful novenas. I'm sure a lot of you out there have said them. One is 1 year long. And one is actually 12 years long. Can you imagine saying the novena every day for 12 years? That's a big commitment, and I was always afraid of that one. So I told myself I'd rather take the 1 year and say it 12 times than commit to the 12-year one because I'd just be afraid I wouldn't finish it.
You say it once a day?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a great novena.
Wow.
And it's quick. It's the 12-year one is shorter, obviously, but it's powerful. It's worth it. It comes with a lot of great promises. And so I would encourage you to get to know St. Bridget and get to know her novenas, because they're actually really awesome. It does have a lot of promises about saving souls within your own family line and heritage, and I think that can be past, present, or future.
That's right.
Yeah.
I've seen you do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, today, happy feast day of St. Bridget of Sweden, and we are going to open with a prayer to St. Bridget. So in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
O glorious St. Bridget of Sweden, faithful wife, loving mother, foundress and mystic of the church, you dedicated your life to loving Christ and faithfully following his holy will. Pray for us that we may grow in holiness through prayer, humility, and obedience to God. Help us to meditate often on the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ and to deepen our love for his infinite mercy. Obtain for our families the grace of unity, peace, and faithfulness. Strengthen those who suffer, comfort the sorrowful, and inspire all Christians to seek God's will above all earthly desires. Teach us to love the Blessed Virgin Mary with filial devotion and to remain steadfast in hope during every trial. May your example encourage us to live lives of charity, purity, and unwavering trust in God's providence. Intercede for the church, for religious vocations, for married couples, and for all who seek the truth, that they may always walk in the light of Christ. May we one day share with you the joy of eternal life in the presence of our Heavenly Father. Saint Bridget of Sweden, pray for us.
Amen.
I thought that was a beautiful prayer.
It's really beautiful.
And definitely worthy of opening the show with.
Yeah.
Right?
Because there were many parts in there about praying for the family and praying for us.
Yes.
At the end of life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking about how this week we've had two experiences with people at the end of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And very dramatically different. One was fast, unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
And the other was, and both young children, and the other situation is lots of time, it's an illness, time to prepare. So as we were talking about the 10 commandments and the deadly sins, and I don't know what I was going to say about 12, but anyway.
12's a great number.
It's a Wacky Thursday.
12-year prayer of St. Bridget of Sweden to help our loved ones, help our family members, help anyone. I think we can pick the souls or just leave it up to the Blessed Mother to pick the souls.
Right.
Which would be the better option.
But we were saying we went through the commandments and the virtues and vices we're going to go over today.
Mm-hmm.
And how we've kind of been hitting the These are the things like not to do, to avoid. These mm-hmm. are the root cause of everything.
Yes.
So we felt like it was maybe a little heavy and we should go to, you know.
Yes.
Some lighter gifts.
That'll be next week, though. We're going to finish with the heavy this week because the vices and the virtues, like you said, they're the root. And
right.
the root is what feeds the system, right? It's
right.
part of the feeding system. So right. if your roots are damaged and they're focused, you know, they're
or they're deep and
or
settled.
Or they're deep and settled.
Yeah.
You're going to have a hard time control, like the natural consequence of those roots is going to be breaking the Ten
More
Commandments
sun,
or
sin, different
sin
sins.
And right. yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lots of different branches
yes.
of sin coming out of the root.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So at the end of life, I think we were more speaking about how you have to remember in life, we're here to get out of here.
Yeah.
As our favorite friend says.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We're here to get out of here.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So if you look at it that way, and even when I was saying at the silent retreat on the last day, they would do that paper.
Yes.
What are
yes.
some of the things you do?
Yes.
Where does it come from? What's the root?
Yes. What's the
That's
root?
That's basically what the exercise That's... was all about.
Okay. Yeah.
So Which it kind of hurts exercise. In the beginning, but once you pull it out
yeah,
and you see it, you can work on it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So be joyful that we're doing.
Yes. Everyone be joyful that we're talking about these
Vice
roots.
And virtue.
Yeah.
Because things are coming against us. Even my phone is saying it's infected now. These infected warnings are blaring around us. Anyway, so we're going to have a great
show. That must
show.
Mean the Lord loves the message. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So the first one is most obviously and always is pride.
Pride.
That suckers. I call it whack-a-mole.
Yeah.
So the game whack-a-mole. Yeah, as soon as you think you have something covered in a certain area or you've conquered it or you've moved on, it's like, boop, up it comes. So you could be pounded down and ground up, and the Lord could do his best work on grinding you down, you know,
right.
breaking you down to build you up. And next thing you know, boop, up comes the pride.
Yes.
That sucker just never goes away.
Yeah.
You're going to spend your whole life battling pride in some version or another, right?
Right.
It's interesting. I know Kathleen is, they call her the Sacred Heart Lady, and St. Margaret Mary Alacoque has the, I bought this book when we were in Medjugorje, and it's all about letters that she had written to different people. And she was deeply, deeply in love with the Lord. And even she didn't, I mean, her letters are so profound. And if you could ever get to that level, I guess when you get to that heightened level of spirituality, they say even you even give up humility, even that goes out the door, because somewhere in there, humility becomes prideful, right? Because it's like,
yeah,
you're so humble, you're prideful, but like how humble, so even humility goes out the door.
Wow.
But anyway, her letters were really beautiful. And you can see how humble she is. And she has a real sense. It's amazing when you have enough grace to actually know the human condition. So when you don't have that much grace and you read these letters, it's a little off-putting. And that's what I was thinking of when we go through these. At first, you're a little bit stunned and you're like, wait, that doesn't even make sense. Or how could that be? Or right?
Right.
How could she feel that way or see herself so lowly or see herself so sinful when really she's really saintly, right? And she's doing
yeah.
beautiful things for God, and she's had an appearance of Christ, and he handed her his Sacred Heart, and she's in love with the, right? And yet all she writes about, you know, she's a lowly worm and she's this and she's that. So
yeah.
It's hard to digest some of these concepts.
Right. Right.
I digress. But anyway, that's
start
what I was thinking.
Start small. You start small.
You do start small.
So where did these seven deadly sins even come from?
Long, long ago.
Long, long time ago.
And they came, they were
desert monks.
Yeah, those desert monks.
There were eight of them.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that they said eight deadly thoughts, they called them.
Yeah.
That would lead to, that would root you in different sins, that would branch out.
Yes.
And then as the years went on, that was like 1,000 years. And then, wasn't it
Pope
Gregory?
Gregory the Great, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Came in and he shook them all down to seven.
Yeah.
And he said they're the seven deadly sins.
Or capital sins. They go back and forth. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Pride, envy, wrath, greed, lust, gluttony, and sloth.
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
We're going to have fun today.
But we have the matching virtue, so
that's
good.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
But it just talks about how sin corrupts and how the virtue can heal that.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
After confession.
Yeah.
Confession's in there too.
And this is the month of the precious blood of Jesus. And when you pray that chaplet, that's another really great chaplet. That's very healing too. And when you need Our Lady of Good Success, there's so many things we were saying last show that our Lord gives us a life jacket. And it's just like loaded with things to help us keep going.
Pick one.
You don't have to pick them all, but whatever one speaks to your heart.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anyway, he recognized those, called them capital sins, right? Mm-hmm. From the Latin caput, means head. So it's really where they all root from.
Yes.
Head, root. Mm-hmm. They seem opposite to me. Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
They are the family of sins from which other sins tend to grow.
Yeah.
Right.
And then that's your thinking. That's how you might, if that's your root system, that's going to infect your thinking, your decision-making, your behavior. It's like the domino effect,
right?
Which is why it's really important to unpack these things and take a look at ourselves and see where we fall short. There's great examination of conscience out there that can help us figure out like where we're most prideful, where we're most
right
envious, where we're
where our behavior comes from.
Mm-hmm. Because everybody, actually, if you're honest with yourself, is going to battle with these things, right?
All of them.
Yeah, all of them.
In one way or another. Sure.
Yeah, you might have some that are a little stronger in some areas than others, but
everyone has pride and everyone gets an occasion of humility.
Absolutely.
Right.
I always like to tell that. Yeah.
Humble pie.
Yeah. That's my famous story. I decided to try and pray that litany of humility. And I decided that I was just going to pick one. Right. So one of them was like, Lord, help me be invisible and not be noticed. That one.
Yes.
And so I was like, that one feels the easiest to me. So I'm going to start small and maybe try and work my way through these one at a time. And so I picked being invisible. I thought, well, this is a cinch. Who cares if you're invisible? Like, who cares if people know? It's probably you're better off not being noticed. Right. That's like actually a relief.
Right.
So the Lord showed me. I went through the next week, and I told you I was in a business meeting, and the president of the company comes up to me and he says, you were supposed to be in that meeting this morning. I didn't see you in the meeting. Where were you? But I was in the meeting, and I was like, check it out. I'm doing that prayer for being like invisible or not noticed. Yeah. Right. And so then the weekend rolls around, and a couple had called me on the phone from this was back when my kids were in grade school. And the school auction was coming up, and they had this big gift they wanted to put on live auction, but they needed four or five families to go in on the gift.
Yeah.
And they said, you're our first phone call. Would you be willing to go in on this gift at X amount of dollars? And then we'll ask these other families, yada, yada.
Right.
So I talked to Kevin, and we decided, yeah, we'll go ahead and do that. So the night of the auction comes, and they like make this big announcement on who donated the gift and who. So they left our names off the list. And I was like, there it is again. And then I just kept having these experiences where people were totally just flat out forgetting me. I think I was out somewhere and someone was supposed to pick me up and we're supposed to go to dinner and they just forgot. And they're like, where are you? I'm like, well, you're supposed to pick me up. And they're like, oh, I forgot. So it was one after another. And I was like, okay, maybe this is a little harder than I thought. Maybe I thought it would be so easy to be invisible, but it's not that easy. And it does hurt. And that probably is pride. And that probably
react.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
So I was thinking, well, the Lord showed me. He got me on that one. Ouch. But it's really funny when you do these things.
That's a hard list.
Yeah. The Lord.
Yeah.
But he hears your prayer. He's always with us. He knows our thoughts. And he lets us. I mean, I picked it.
Right.
He's probably like, okay, honey bunny, I'll show you.
Exactly.
You think it's so easy?
You talk, you won't talk again.
Exactly. Okay. So I always thought that was so funny. Eating your humble pie. What I always digress. You said we all get humiliated or we all get like.
Right.
Yeah. Put in our place.
Right.
And for me, that was a really funny example because he really showed me.
Right. It's like when they say everyone's replaceable.
Yeah.
I think they could never replace me at work. They could never replace me, but somehow everyone's replaceable.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. And we talked about the little flower, right? And that was her whole little way was built on radical humility.
Right.
And she was a real genius because that was her whole fast track to heaven, actually. So she understood herself. She said, Lord, I can't do these great things. I can't start these orders. I'm not one to. What can I do? All I can do is be very little.
Right.
And give you my whole heart.
Like a little child.
Like a little child. And look at that. She became a doctor of the church. It was brilliant.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So God really worked through that.
It probably wasn't as easy as you just made it sound.
Well, exactly. It's like being invisible. You know, right. You're like, that's not hard. That's actually going to be a total relief.
And people end up treating you, you know.
No one's going to bother me or harass me. I'm just going to be invisible.
Oh my gosh.
That is too funny for words.
Yeah.
Yeah. So pride's a tough one. We all have it. There are a lot of saints that we can look to. Again, today is St. Bridget of Sweden. She was a wife and a mother, and she had children, and then she went on to start religious orders. And she had a... Some of these saints have actually really interesting stories.
Yeah, big, full lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
The road turns. Mm-hmm. God writes with a crooked line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. And then, obviously, you have the example of Christ himself. Though, in the form of God, he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. And he was a great model, and it wasn't about self-erasure, but self-gift. He gave himself fully,
right,
down to the very last drop of blood.
Yeah.
And that's also something else. If you meditate on that, or you meditate on his passion, and you really get these, there's so much available out online. It's so beautiful, like the 24 Hours of the Passion, just different perspectives on his passion. It's just mind-blowing. I was saying to you earlier that... Right now, for some reason, I'm doing the Chaplet of the Holy Face. It just kind of jumped out at me. I love this chaplet. And when you really look at Christ and how he humbled himself and all he took on, but this chaplet talks about my Jesus in honor of the sense of touch. And if you go through his passion and understand all the ways he endured physical torment, right?
Yes.
And inappropriate touching and stripping and all that kind of stuff. That is so painful. And then it goes through next, the hearing, right? And all the things that he had to hear. We were talking about when he had to go before Pontius Pilate, or he had to go before Herod. Right. He had to listen to the Pharisees. He had that, but he was all knowing, and he still remained humble, and he remained patient. And so it's just amazing when you go through these different... Yeah, the crowd.
Screaming, crucify him.
Yeah. And preferring Barabbas over Christ. So all the things he had to hear.
And all the people out there, he probably touched them in their lives.
Yes. Right? And then they turned on him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So even Judas, whatever, just all the things that are, and maybe all the good things too, right? He got to hear the apostles love him, Peter, but even Peter's betrayal, he had to hear that, you know. So, my Jesus, mercy and honor of the sense of sight. So same thing, all the things he had to see. There's one part where, I forget what devotion is, but he talks about Christ walking through Jerusalem, and he watches when he's visiting the temple. He'll watch other people getting crucified. Ooh. And he knows that's his fate.
Right.
So imagine the things he had to see. And then, like, overturning the tables in the temple because of righteous anger, because that was his father's house. And
right.
So he just, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And somehow all these kind of relate back to pride and humility, because he had the humility.
You keep going to the humility.
I know.
I keep trying to get back to the pride. I'm like, she skipped right to the virtue.
But look at all he had to endure. Yeah. And then smell, all the things, like his sense of smell when he was sweating blood, when he was cut, when he was bruised. Imagine like the big gruesome smelly guys who were whipping him. And if he was, when he was in that jail cell. It smelled in there. They had feces and all kinds of disgusting things. And they threw them in Cedron Stream. I mean, just everything, right? Taste, all the foul things he had to taste. So anyway, it's a heavy, well, it's deep. I don't know if it's heavy or if it's lovely or if it's deep, or just your appreciation for what Jesus did for us and for the graces he gives us and for his forgiveness. And this, you just grow deeper and deeper a little bit in appreciation for everything he did.
It was like he was making up for the sins of that sense.
Yeah, exactly. And actually he was,
right? Just like when we do the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. The hands are what we do and the feet are.
Yes, exactly.
We take ourselves and the
So he's taking all these virtues and he's redoing them essentially and turning them, I mean vices and turning them, you know, redoing them for us and turning them into.
Right.
Virtues.
Virtues, yes.
So thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
So anyway, what else would you like to say about pride, since I'm a rambling, babbling
book
today?
It's just the head of the list.
Marta has a case of the motor mouth today.
Pride is not the same as a healthy self-respect.
Correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So pride is really, Oh, it's thinking that you're so great and you're so excellent. And, you know.
Yeah.
We all have our moments when we're like, I did that.
Right.
You know.
That's my.
The house is clean in 3 hours, even something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah. That always reminds me of good old King Nebuchadnezzar when Daniel was interpreting his dream for him. And he had dreamt of this big, tall, towering tree, and the birds were feeding in it, and it was providing shade and providing fruit and doing all these great things. But the warning that Daniel, in the interpretation, eventually God said, chop the tree down. And then he had the stump covered in like iron and bronze and all different metals. And the meaning was about letting go of the pride, humbling yourself before God. And if he didn't do that, God would humble him, right? So if he didn't humble
take
himself.
Down his kingdom.
Yeah, and that's exactly what he did. He walked outside and he was admiring his kingdom. He said, look what I created in my majesty, you know, all of my. And as soon as, because he received the warning and didn't heed it, the minute the thought went through his head, boom, he lost his kingdom. And then eventually at the end of his life, he was restored. God really worked him through in a very painful way. But he brought him back to humility and saved him. So I guess it was worth it. So sometimes if God is working us through some really rough roads, there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Right. you're trying. He's trying to help you.
He's trying to help you, not hurt you. Exactly.
Right.
It hurts to heal.
Parents, you know, do that for their children.
Yes. And he's a good,
teach
good
them
father.
Lessons. Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Teach it lessons. A little bit of today's gospel.
Yes.
Yeah. Pride and humility.
I know. So those are some, food for thought. That is.
So then we have envy and brotherly love.
I love brotherly love. Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Brotherly love. So envy, we talked about, it's sadness at another person's good, right? Their success, their gifts, their happiness. It's, you wish you had it. In some cases, maybe you're sad that they have it and not you. Maybe if like some other guy got a promotion at work or some other guy, I like to use the silly example, won the lottery and why didn't I or something, you know.
Right.
Why do they have ABC, XYZ and I don't?
Yes, because that's benign envy or malicious envy.
Yeah.
So benign is a desire that motivates action or self-improvement, right?
Yeah.
Without having those ill wishes towards the other person.
Yeah.
Wow, she looks great. She's been whatever.
Yeah.
Doing her coloring her hair. Maybe I'll color my hair. So you don't wish her not to have colored hair anymore. It's a motivation for you to do something, right?
That
you
envy.
But then there's malicious envy, which is like bitterness.
Like you have this she only desire. Looks good because she got Botox, or she only looks good because she's taking the shot. Forget her. I'd look like that if I had Botox and a shot too.
But it's your desire to have what they have.
Yeah.
And you get bitter, so you want the person to also lose what they have. So it might turn to gossip or slander or, it just becomes malicious.
Yeah.
You wanting what they have. Right?
Yeah. And then we talked about Cain and Abel. It's, Cain's offering wasn't received the way Abel's offering was. And that was just it's a little different because he just really misunderstood God's messaging. I listened to a talk on that the other day. There was a good talk on that. And you can find any of this stuff on YouTube. Had he understood, maybe there would have been a different outcome. But instead, he went and killed his brother.
Killed his brother over it.
Yeah.
That was malicious envy.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's the example.
And that was a root that was severely infected, you know?
Right.
He needed a root canal. We need to get that out.
Because they said most of that envy results from like a upward social comparison. Like in social situations, you start to compare yourself. That's another problem area.
Yes.
Once you start to compare yourself to other people, it's usually going to lead you down a bad path.
Yes. That's a really important point because it's so easy to let that thought. We were talking about that. It's like a tide. It just pulls you right downstream.
Even and the young girls.
Yeah.
They show you these supermodels that are airbrushed. And
yes.
You know, everything's perfect. And they say, I just want to be like her. And then they go crazy
trying to be
the airbrushed girl. And there's no such thing as you see that woman in real life and she looks nothing like that picture.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So St. Paul gives you the antidote
to envy.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. In 1 Corinthians 13, he says, love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious.
Yep.
The virtue isn't tolerating someone else's good fortune. It's the capacity to rejoice in it, to want good for your neighbor.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that could be a real self-discipline to try and want good for your neighbor. Right? So it also reminds me of the Lord saying, what good does, like, to love your enemy, right? What good is it if you just love your family or love people that love you back? That's easy. There's no merit in that.
Right.
But if you can actually find real, genuine love and sincere appreciation for what somebody else has, your neighbor or somebody, your coworker.
I feel like that's a habit.
Yeah. It's a discipline.
You have to train your mind.
Yeah.
To say.
Mm-hmm. Or keep a gratitude journal.
Take that thought captive and say.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful you have that. Even if it starts as a little bit, you know, you're laughing at yourself.
Fake it till you make it.
Yeah. Fake it till you make it, mm-hmm. because you will make it.
Yeah. Eventually you will make it.
Eventually you will, and you'll retrain your thoughts.
Yeah. Keeping a gratitude journal, reading a daily reflection, anything. Daily mass, staying close to confession.
Mm-hmm.
Staying close to confession is a big one because you're constantly, or even a daily examination of conscience at the end of the day. These are all just habits that you could start forming.
Right.
That would help.
That'll show you your brotherly love or lack of.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. How many times did you pick up that phone today and start ran about... Did you see Sally?
Or even you, you know, you're walking your dog and you forgot the bag and you just don't go back to. I mean, all those little things add up to like something.
Yeah.
That you're either annoying, you're being loving towards your neighbor and their stuff, or
mm-hmm.
you're being kind, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So they say John the Baptist was the best example, right?
Yeah.
And he says, he must increase, so I must decrease, right? Mm-hmm. There was no ego, no rivalry. He had genuine joy.
Yes.
That Jesus was here, and mm-hmm. he was going to step down and let Jesus step in.
Yeah, right? And he understood his role and his purpose and God's plan in his life. And obviously, he was John the Baptist, right?
Right.
So these ones without original sin are kind of hard.
Right.
they're really lofty standards to live up to, but it's not impossible.
Exactly.
But
so envy and brotherly love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then wrath and patience. Wrath is disordered anger, not every instance of anger, but anger that's excessive, it's misdirected, or that seeks harm rather than justice.
Right. Seeking mm-hmm. harm.
Yeah.
That's the big word.
Yeah. And you see a lot of that today. Just turn on the news. And you're going to see it in your face every which way from Sunday, right?
Absolutely. With police, with going into a store and I want to steal from you because you're corporate. And
yeah.
For me,
someone just got arrested for like throwing a cocktail, like setting a fire and throwing in front of a church or something, right?
A Molotov.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's crazy. So it's not, it's something that's very permanent.
Prevalent.
It's very prevalent. That's the word. Prevalent.
It's in the air in here today.
Woohoo! Yes. So there's a lot of disordered anger in the world.
Yeah.
And
excessive and misdirected.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. the antidote to that is patience. Even in the road rage, right? You hear these stories of somebody cut somebody off or someone hand gestured somebody and the other person will follow that person home and beat them up or shoot them or.
Right.
It's crazy.
That's why they say you can be angry, but don't sin.
Yeah. Right. There's righteous anger.
Take
well,
that
look
anger
at that.
Captive.
Believe it or not, we're at the half hour marker. So we're going to take a break.
Even the clocks are a little off today.
Yeah.
Wacky Thursday.
Yeah. So much fun.
We thank God for our one, holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church, where Jesus remains present to us until the end of the age, in word and in sacrament. Catholic Radio shares in the ministry of the Church to proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth. And in his sign, Catholic Radio, has been doing so for over 30 years. Kathleen McCarthy and in his sign have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to bring the fire of God's healing love to the world through Catholic Radio and the Internet. With God's grace, his word goes out, healing hearts and transforming lives. In his sign, proclaims the culture of life, loud and clear, in a culture of death. The ministry's mission is to evangelize, catechize, and to be a voice for those who have no voice, proclaiming the truth that will set all people free. To our faithful family and friends who stand with us, thank you for being missionaries with us by supporting In His Sign Catholic Radio. Without your monthly support of prayer and financial giving, our mission would not be able to continue. Our mission voice would be silenced. To our new listeners, please prayerfully consider joining our monthly circle of family and friends by partnering with us financially each month. All donations are completely tax deductible and go directly to our daily expenses, like the purchase of radio airtime and keeping the lights on. Kathleen McCarthy and all of the staff at In His Sign, except Kathleen's administrator, donate all of their time and talent on a volunteer basis at no expense to the ministry. Donations to In His Sign Catholic Radio may be sent to 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA 19010, or you can donate securely at inhissign.com. Remember, without your prayers and financial support, our mission voice will be silenced.
Well, welcome back. It's Marta Kyle.
And Tara Wolfington.
And if you're just tuning in, we are covering the topic of the seven, you could call them deadly sins, capital sins, right? And they're opposing virtues, vices and virtues. And yes, we decided on this topic because we thought it was a lovely wrap-up to the Ten Commandments series we did, because these vices or virtues are the root of the behaviors, the decisions, and how we can live those Ten Commandments out.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we thought that would be a nice little wrap-up.
Yeah.
And then we're going to move on to lovely topics like gifts of the Spirit and stuff.
Yeah. Some gifts instead of some...
Yeah, so we were on wrath, right?
Yep.
And the virtue to wrath.
We did pride and humility.
Yes.
Envy and brotherly love. And mm-hmm. now we're on wrath and patience.
Yeah. Yeah. So
wrath is pretty self-explanatory.
It
right?
is. And then we were saying you just see a lot of it in today's world. It's really prevalent.
Yeah.
Anytime you turn on the news, you walk into a big city. Some cities are worse than others. But there is a lot of anger.
And wrath seeks harm rather mm-hmm. than justice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's disordered.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. And then even James 1:19-20 gives us some wisdom on the subject.
Yes.
Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak,
yep.
slow to anger.
Yep.
For the anger of a man does not produce the righteousness of God, and wrath is what happens when that slowness disappears.
Yeah.
When anger stops seeking justice and starts seeking to wound.
Yeah, that's a really powerful statement right there.
For today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it even mirrors the gospel, if we read the gospel today. Let those who have ears hear and let those who have eyes see.
Yes.
And many people who wanted, you know, there are many people who wish to right. see and hear what Christ was sharing. with the apostles, they don't get to see and hear it. And he was revealing really the kingdom of heaven and all the, yeah. Oh, beautiful. We have a caller on line one. Frank?
I'm here now.
There you go.
There we go. Third time's a charm. It's Frank the Great. That's my favorite nickname for you.
You got the wrong connection. Couple questions. You ready?
Yes.
Wrath. That means, I forget the meaning already. What's it mean again?
Wrath is anger.
Yes. And it's
disordered.
Disordered anger.
Disordered anger.
Yeah.
What is it again?
So wrath is disordered anger. It's not
anger. Okay, yeah.
So it's not any time you get angry. Anger is a normal emotion, but it's anger that's excessive, misdirected, or that seeks harm rather than justice.
I saw that this morning.
Yeah.
My mother had it again. She's had it again. Oh my God. Oh my. I'm exaggerating. She can't stand me. She hates me here, but I'm stuck here through the fire. The Novena. Who was Novena for 12 years?
St. Bridget of Sweden. Today's her feast day.
Yeah, I heard that. I thought Novena meant 9, though. How did they get 12 out of that?
I know, it does. So I'm calling it a Novena, but I think that's what it is. And that she just has, there's two of them. One's for 1 year. You say it every day for 1 year, and one's a 12-year. And I don't know. Maybe it's just a special. Novena doesn't mean 9. You are correct on that.
Right. But not all novenas are. There's a 47-day rosary novena.
Mm-hmm.
27 in asking, 27 in Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah.
That's 56 days.
What rosary is that for 47 days?
The rosary novena.
You just give me a new thing I never heard before.
Yeah.
It's 27 days in asking.
Uh-huh.
There's a book that goes with it. You can find the book.
Uh-huh.
And then 27 days of Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Right. When I first heard called Captain Luke Campion, I asked him, I said, it might be St. Bridget's because that's her feast day today.
Yeah.
He said he'd never heard of it. And I said, here to that. I'll give him a call and ask him. We're both thrown for a loop there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Maybe they're more like devotions to St. Bridget, but definitely if you look them up, I did the 1 year one twice. And I know a lot of people who are doing the 12-year one. It just comes with some really beautiful promises. And yeah.
Well, they should do that in first grade.
Exactly. So by that's hilarious. They should. See? You are Frank the Great. That was a great idea, Frank.
Thank you. These are good liars.
No, that was a great idea.
No. How else could you remember? You know what I'm saying? First grade and then a senior.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
So our part is summer break. That's all. Oh, my God. Excuse me.
Yeah. No. Well, I'm too chicken to try, to be honest with you. I was thinking 12 years. Do you think I could say the same thing for 12 years every single day without skipping
a beat? Well, if you did it for 1 year, it's just a habit. It should have been a groove in your mind.
It should have.
Really early on.
Chicken!
At least by 6 months.
But if you think about it, you do the same prayers anyway every day, so there's no difference.
That actually is true. If someone said, do you say the rosary every day for 12 years? Well, you say the rosary every day, if you have that devotion.
If you put it on your bathroom mirror when you're brushing your teeth.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what happened about the rosary today? I've been doing it for years. I forget. Every once in a while, I get tired of it. I still pray. I get tired of doing a rosary.
Mm-hmm.
It never lasts long. Sometimes it lasts maybe 2 days, but then I'll say twice as long because I've missed a day or two.
Right. Yeah.
And it happened today. I didn't do it the last 2 days, maybe 3 days. I forget. So I was like, oh, I can't say stop. I did a rosary a couple times this morning.
You need some good books with some...
What about the book?
You need some good rosary books with different contemplations. Mm-hmm. Changes the whole feel of the rosary.
Right.
Or maybe like one line that you say before each Hail Mary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never heard that before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a line between each decade, you're saying?
Well,
yeah,
in
like
some
an
of
intention
these...
or like a scriptural, like a little piece of scripture or something, scriptural rosaries.
Right. So if you're on the sorrowful, they'll give you a scriptural line and then you say the Hail Mary and it talks about...
Yeah.
About five years ago, on a different station, they had the sorrowful, whatever,
Mysteries,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was not taught that in Catholic school, either grade school or high school.
Really?
The first time I heard about 5 years ago, some station is doing a rosary every night at 8 o'clock, and every day is different. I never even heard that before until 5 years ago.
Oh, wow,
yeah. We were not taught that at St. Tim's, our judge. And my sister is 2 years older, and she was the same way. And my mom went to the same school, and I forget they were taught or not. I have no idea. I forget.
Yeah. So you just knew about the joyful, or you just prayed the rosary plain?
No, we just learned the rosary. That's it. We didn't learn anything.
Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah.
No joyful, sorrowful.
Uh-huh. Luminous.
None. Yeah. Just the rosary. That's it.
Well, Luminous is pretty new.
Yeah, Luminous is pretty new. That's John Paul, too.
I feel like that's something you learn in the home.
Yeah.
I mean, you learn how to say it in Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
But at home.
Right.
That's where they usually ask families to say the rosary.
The domestic church.
The domestic church.
Mm-hmm.
The Luminous, John Paul II start that one?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What does Luminous mean?
Light.
The light.
Mm-hmm.
Like
and it really just focuses on his life.
Jesus, not John Paul.
Yeah. Jesus is life. Yeah. So is so the first one is his baptism.
Right.
The second mystery would be focused on the wedding feast at Cana.
Yeah.
Yeah. The third one is the proclamation of the kingdom when he's
working.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's the transfiguration.
Transfiguration.
Yeah, I'm testing my brain here. And then the institution of the Eucharist.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I lied to you two ladies. I said a couple I got another question for you. Is you ready?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Jennifer and Mary, I love them too. Don't get mad, okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you used to, I never hear you offbeat. You always sound so positive and happy all the time. Are you always that way? Or is that just your radio voice?
I think in general, we're happy. We're happy.
We're shiny, happy people.
I love it. And I love people happy all the time.
Yeah, we like to call it the joy of the spirit.
Yes. Yeah.
You're just so positive. St. Kathleen McCarthy, you got two ladies you filled in on Thursdays. I don't miss them every Thursday. These are wonderful, and I love your show. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, you're the best.
I mean, seriously, if I didn't like you, yeah, that's came out right here. I just wouldn't say nothing, that's all.
Yeah.
I'm not making things up. I won't say bad things about you. I just won't say, like, whatever. I'm
right.
Getting all tongue-twisted here.
Silence is golden.
Right.
But with the love is in return there, Frank. We love you back. And
thank
we
you so
mean
much.
It.
Thanks for your program every time. Thank
yeah.
you, ladies.
You're
so much.
The best.
I appreciate it.
Thanks,
Frank.
Thanks.
Have
take care.
Going. Bye.
Bye.
Okay.
That's always awesome.
Yeah. Lost my place.
I know.
It's Wacky
I love
Thursday
Frank.
In here
it
today.
It is Wacky Thursday.
Everything's here
off.
Was going berserk. The
yeah.
computers and then my phone and then.
Mm-hmm. But where we were on patience, actually, and we were talking about.
It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit.
It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You were going to tell us what all the fruits of the Holy Spirit are.
I know. I get really excited in my brain. I tell Tara, my brain's like a pinball machine. It's like, bing, 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 bing. And it just, my poor brain just lights up in 100 directions.
Yeah.
I just start. She's off to the races. Yes. So.
The gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. The virtue is patience. But there's also love and joy and peace. These are all the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and a big one, self-control. These are all big ones.
So that's what we feel like we want to talk about after we talk about all these things we have to battle.
Yes.
And then in a few weeks, we'll talk about the rewards we get for battling them.
Yes.
So
the
rewards
and
are
the rewards.
Right, mm-hmm. The virtues are the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Patience is a virtue. Virtue is grace.
Right.
Grace is a little girl who didn't wash her face. Someone tell me
has
that.
Has a pretty face.
Oh, has a pretty face. Oh, that's a nicer God. Version. That's hilarious. So anyway, St. Paul lists patience as the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So that's why mm-hmm. we just went through the fruits. There's patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness. And I think it's the same thing. If you can manage to be patient, maybe it's because you have love, you have joy of the Lord, you have peace.
Right.
Right? Peace that goes beyond understanding. It seems to me these things really affect each other, right? So if you're rooted in wrath, you're going to have unrighteous anger and revenge, and right? But if you're rooted in patience, you're also probably going to be rooted in love and joy and kindness and goodness. It's amazing.
So which one you feed?
It's which one you feed. Which wolf.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's really patience, the capacity to endure difficulties.
Mm-hmm. And then who's our number one saint for patience? Everyone talks about her. Well, besides St. Bridget.
Monica.
Yes.
17 years.
Yeah. I think it might have even been longer than that. She prayed
for her son.
Mm-hmm. And she wept bitterly, and she really had perseverance.
And I'm sure we all feel a little bit of that somewhere in our children's lives.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes. Patience, it really is a virtue. It's hard to have patience.
Yeah.
And you can easily flip to frustration, or there's different things to help you even with patience, like your breathing. They say stop, count to 10, give yourself a little mantra. What's that little mantra that we learned this? We learned it this year. It was, if not now, that when, or what was it? Now and later. Now and later. Now and later.
Yeah.
So someone was teaching us that the decisions you make now will affect you later. And how are they going to affect you? So just stop, take a breath, and before you react to a situation in anger or in wrath, say, how is this going to affect me in 10 years? Or right. It could be in any
what's
vice.
What's going on now? What's it going to look like later?
Yeah.
Because a lot of times different situations dissipate.
Yes.
Like the guy who cuts you off. By the time
yes.
the next guy cuts you off, you forgot about the first guy who cut you off.
Yeah. So if you just tell yourself now and later, now and later. So, but in the moment of a decision, sometimes you make an irrational decision because you don't stop, you don't take a breath, and you don't think, what is the consequence of this decision going to be? Even in 5 years, 10 years, you know, it could be drinking and driving. I'm in the moment now. I feel like I'm okay. I feel like I can drive, but the consequence later is going to be pretty heavy and pretty deep if I make that decision.
Right.
So it's just step back, look at what's going on, take a deep breath, and whatever mantra works for you. If it's now and later.
Even in the little things, even when there's a, you know, you're watching your grandkids or your own kids and they take the something and throw it across the room, a toy, some food, whatever it is, and it just strikes you.
Yeah.
And you're saying... And you want to, you get angry,
yeah, right.
It's on the wall that was just painted, yeah. Whatever. You can get angry, right? So Barty has to say, is this spilt milk?
Right.
Or is this, you know, something that happens all the time?
Is this a scratch or a wound?
Is this like something I really need to get angry about now? Or is this later, even a few hours from now, it'll be cleaned up and, it, you know, there was no... reason for me to get that angry at the child when I could have just said, okay, now.
Yeah, and how you respond now will affect how they behave later. So if I respond in love, if I teach them that I model love, I do this now, then later the fruits are going to come to fruition in that child because that's how
in
they were reared and raised. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so many levels.
I just read a thing that children by 9 years old already have their self-talk.
Oh, wow.
And they model that over people in the home and people at school and how
people speak to them. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And by 9 years old, their self-talk is set.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. And it's probably not impossible to undo, but it's very damaging and it's very wounding. Like we said, is it a wound or a scratch? Well, when you speak harmfully or unlovingly over a person, right? Mm-hmm. It causes deep wounds. It's very hard.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
It's like cursing.
So bite your tongue.
Don't curse people.
Exactly. You want to bless. We bless. We bless. Do we tear them down or do we build them up? Do we tear them down?
So when you have your kids, you always, you know, whatever's with your children. But then when you have grandchildren, you have a little more patience.
It's like a second chance program. You're like, okay, I flunked that test. I'm going to start over with the grandkids. I'm going to practice my patience on them.
Yeah, but I always, you know, I always try. I find myself better with the grands where I'll say, oh, you know, like, and I'll say, look what that did. Oh,
yeah.
What happened that you threw that? Or,
oh,
and look at the wall. Now help me clean that up. You're such a sweet thing. You're such a sweet thing. You didn't mean that, right? We're going to clean that up. Or like, I have a different approach.
Yeah.
And you know, I always call my kids sweet thing or lovely or darling or, you know, all my little.
My little boo-boo,
all the little
honey
things
bunny.
I've trained myself to say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
But when it's your own children, I mean, that's typical.
Well,
I feel
older
like
and grandparents. Wiser.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the poor firstborn, we're just going to apologize for them all over the place because the firstborn just never, we just make all our mistakes on our first round.
Exactly.
They say that, but I hate to say, it's really kind of true. You're like, ooh, made a mistake on that.
Right.
You look back and you're thinking, parenting does not come with a handbook, folks. So if you could root your children and grandchildren in all these virtues.
With loving words, that's how
you do
it.
With loving words, mm-hmm. it would...
If you have love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, then you probably are a grandmother.
Exactly.
You're probably past parenting.
Exactly.
No, but you know what I mean. If you use those things in your interactions with
exactly.
the kids, yes. they usually use them back.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Self-control is a big one. I always look at, for some reason, that one always jumps out. Because self-control, it's easy to your point, let someone in a road rage situation get on your nerves or respond to that quickly. Or
right.
I mean, I had that gas station story.
Or you're
I tell.
At the shore and everybody's getting ice cream.
Right. And you're
down
like,
to that.
I want the ice cream. Yeah, exactly. Self-control.
Mm-hmm. And there's so many different ways that self-control comes in.
Yeah. And some people can really test your self-control.
Well, even Facebook. They hear you say a word and you're looking for a pair of sneakers. You'll
right.
get 15 sneaker commercials. Yeah. Every third scroll, you'll see a story, sneakers. Story, sneakers mm-hmm. for like a week and a half.
Yes. Yep.
Right? So there's yes. self-control, and I have to say to myself, just get, flip off it for a minute mm-hmm. and let it reset.
Don't know? Turn on QVC, folks, because that is just a killer right there.
That's the other one.
Home shopping network. I mean, it's so bad, but you're like, oh, I really think that's a great gadget.
Yeah, and people really
could
do
use
fall.
The...
Some people really have a hard time
here I am.
With the self-control on that.
On the shopping. Oh, I'm like, that would be so great. I love that beach bag or, you know, whatever they're selling. I need that new makeup to make me look 50 years younger.
That's so cute. And then with the grandkids, my little granddaughter is 4 years old, turned to me the other day. And I said, she loves, as you know, to say the prayer when the ambulance comes by.
Yes.
And we pray for the driver and yeah. the person in the ambulance. And we go down a whole litany of people and situations that surround the poor person in the ambulance, right? Right
yeah.
down to if they come to you today, Lord, you know, keep them close to you, right?
Yeah.
So I said, okay, you say the prayer now because she always wants me to say the prayer.
Right.
And she said, oh, Mimi, I don't know how to pray. I said, what? She said, I don't know how to pray. I
said, yes, you do.
I said, you start with thanksgiving and then you gratitude. Then you ask what you need. Oh, Carla.
Yes, Carla Capasso just texted us a beautiful picture. Her baby twin granddaughters have been born, and they're so precious.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. Congratulations to Carla and her daughter, Jerianne, and Jerianne's husband. What a beautiful.
They look a good size.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Yeah. Is there any text under that?
A
wacky Thursday. Everything's wacky in here.
I couldn't ignore the text. It was really cute. Babies have arrived. Mom and babies are doing well. Oh, my goodness. They're so sweet.
So sweet.
Beautiful children. So
wow.
we'll say a little prayer.
That. Praise and thank the Lord.
Yeah, because, you know, it's a big deal when you're having twins. It's a big deal when you're having
a baby.
So
now we'll pray like we taught Aya. We say
yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
For the health and of the mother and the children.
Mm-hmm.
And we're
and
so
for blessing
grateful
the doctors.
For children. And we're grateful for hospitals. And we're mm-hmm. grateful for all the
new
medical
life.
Personnel and new life.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, and may they be brought up in all the fruits and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness,
and self-control.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Now I lost where we are. Are we at greed and generosity?
We are at greed and generosity. How about it?
Okay.
But we're almost also at the end of the show.
I know, because the clock is wrong in here.
I know.
Clock is telling us we have
15 minutes.
Yeah, and I think
but the real time is we have 5 minutes.
Oh,
so before the show wraps, I would like to remind everyone once again to please save the date. It's the 15th annual In His Sign Catholic Radio Golf Tournament. It will be held on October 12th, Old York Road Country Club in Ambler, PA. You should have received a mailer this week about it. I know I received mine.
Did I
you did. Receive yours?
Mm-hmm.
So don't
and
forget to take
all
yeah
in there.
Yep. So take a look at that and see what you would like to sponsor, or see what you know if you want to donate a auction like an auction basket, or just get a foursome together, or donate a foursome of priests, or if you just want to join us for the dinner, that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of camaraderie. It's a lot of good laughs. You get to meet all the
there's only two fundraisers for the radio.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this one, the golf outing, and then the Wake Up America dinner. They're two very different events. This one's very fun and very active, and
Yeah, they're both fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can be a good golfer or not so good golfer.
Yes, you buy those mulligans, baby.
There is a lot of fun at the golf outing.
It is. Yeah. So even if you don't play golf, you can volunteer. There's so many ways to participate.
Yeah, just coming to dinner.
Yeah, and we love everybody's participation. We're one big happy family over here at In His Sign. And Kathleen would love to see you.
Yeah.
Yeah. She sends her love.
So come on out. The Lord gratitude. Always gives us a good day.
Always. It's always a really good time. And it's funny because we're on greed and generosity. So whoop, whoop. Get your generosity on. Whoop, whoop.
We'll call it green and generosity.
Yeah.
We'll change it for a minute.
Exactly.
So I guess if we only have a few left, maybe we are doing one more show next week.
I know. Well, we do have 5 minutes.
Okay.
So greed and generosity, greed or avarice, it's the disordered desire to acquire and hoard wealth or possessions.
Mm-hmm.
Treating money or things as if they could give the secure, you know, as there is, woohoo, give security and meaning that only God can actually give. So God's the giver and taker. He's always the giver of gifts. But when you think it's your right or your... Oh, that could be pride too, right?
Right, or hoarding. It's more hoarding. About hoarding.
Yeah, and not
greed is
having
it's also disordered. It's
a disordered love of money.
You want so much for yourself, you don't care about anybody else, right?
Yeah.
The money becomes your God, the possessions, the,
yeah.
I don't know, how many pairs of shoes do I have? How many pocketbooks? How many?
Yeah. Right. That's like King, was it King Herod? I don't remember if it was Herod or not, but anyway, he's not in heaven. And he's burning either in the flames of purgatory or hell. I don't know which. And he's calling out to Lazarus, who was at his doorstep all those days. And he's saying,
just a rich man.
Lazarus, Lazarus. Oh, it was just a rich
Help
man?
Me.
I thought it was a king. Whatever. Maybe it was the rich man. Sorry.
We'll tell you
Everyone
next
knows
week.
The story.
It's crazy Thursday.
We'll call
here.
It the rich man. It's safer. But anyway, he
and
was.
It fits with the greed.
Yeah. And he was really sorry that he didn't take a moment to be generous to Lazarus, who sat outside his door.
Right.
And he never offered him a drink, something to eat, and anything. You
right.
Know?
Luke 12, the rich man who builds bigger barns to hoard his surplus, only to die that night, and the things he prepared, who will they belong to?
Yeah, that's even a different story, but yep.
Mm-hmm. And when you're generous, the opposite, right?
Yeah.
It makes you feel good.
Mm-hmm. Tara's favorite line is, God loves a
cheerful giver.
Yay!
Generosity isn't just giving away money. It's the interior freedom to hold possessions loosely. Trust God
it's
rather
your
than your bank account for
That's
your
right.
security.
You can give time, talent, treasure. You can give anything, right?
But you get more when you give.
Yes, always.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And when you're greedy, we had this conversation not related to this. If you remember a couple weeks ago, we talked about how greed can really just become a part of some people's thinking and how they behave.
Yeah.
And
the root
and I mean it gets in
mm-hmm.
in it's not it's like the it's, golf
they
tee.
Suffer Wait, from
it's
it
my golf
yeah.
tee
exactly I mean,
it's,
yes
it's
the hairbrush it could be anything simple and silly
all the way up to
mm-hmm.
right
mm-hmm.
I don't want to share or be generous with anyone I just
yeah.
hoard right?
uh-huh yeah so, more and more it's not enough. That's an inside joke. It's not funny. But anyway.
Well, if you had it, you could say it wasn't enough.
Yeah.
Since you don't have it, it's a joke. We won't hold you to it because you don't have it.
Yeah. But guess what? We are in the year of St. Francis. So don't forget, if anyone wants to make a little pilgrimage to a church of St. Francis.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. But St. Francis is the obvious example. He was born into a wealthy cloth merchant's family, and he stripped off his fine clothes and renounced his inheritance entirely and lived in radical poverty. So that's maybe an extreme example, but St. Francis, pray for us, because maybe...
He might have been happy.
Yeah. And that is how we're going to wrap the show, because believe it or not...
Here we are,
the end of the hour.
Okay, we'll be back next Thursday.
We'll be back, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't forget to watch Anton.
Dr. Anton Raimondo. Yes, he's fabulous.
Yes. And we were going to ask for prayers.
In. We were.
For our friend who's Lauren.
Oh, yes.
Prayers for Lauren, who's mm-hmm. received her last rites.
Yes.
And so if you do a chaplet for her, that'd be much appreciated.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we love you and we mean it. See you next week.
God bless you. See you next Thursday.
Join us again next week as we explore scripture reflections, personal stories, and practical encouragement, leading us to say, "Yes, here I am, Lord."